Tonight, we're continuing our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to deal with another temporary gift and even expand a little bit. And it's going to take us a couple of weeks. Tonight's not going to be a very long message due to our business meeting. But we're going to deal with the Holy Spirit and health and the gift of healing. I think it's pretty appropriate, especially what the world has gone through for almost the last 2 years. I believe that health is a blessing from God. If you have any measure of it, I've felt this way about my life, that God has given me so many more good days as opposed to bad days, physically, emotionally, and certainly a lot of that has to do with salvation. Because if you're saved by the grace of God, and I've now been saved for 41 years, your whole outlook, I believe that your countenance changes. When you truly know the Lord and you're walking in His ways and you love His Word, you assemble with His people, you worship, you serve, you memorize portions of Scripture, I really do believe it helps your outlook. It helps your mental focus. It helps even your physical. Even in the worst times of physical ailment, you know that you can go to God in prayer and that He'll hear you, that He pities you as one of His children and is concerned for you. And oh, how I pray that God would use this virus to make people aware just how frail this earthly tabernacle really is. That the smallest of germs can bring about death because of sin. And God would use it to cause them to see, in the time of great ailment, that there's only one remedy for their sin. And it's not in a medicine. It's not in a therapeutic. It's not in a government program. It's in the power of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection. And that might not spare their physical life, but if they truly repent and believe the gospel, God gives them eternal life. And this episode of sickness will be just a blip in comparison to eternity. So even in the midst of sickness and disease and sorrow, we can pray for God to bring good out of it in His providence. Now, many have erred in including the whole topic of divine healing under the heading of the gifts of healing. The gift of healing was a temporary sign gift. And it only makes up a part of the subject of divine healing. And I think it's important to distinguish that. Because of the confusion surrounding the gift of healing, that sign gift, and that of divine healing, what we're going to do is cover both of these subjects over the next couple of weeks. Those who teach that the gift of healing is still in operation today accuse sound preachers of believing that God no longer hears prayers. And that, of course, is a groundless slander perpetuated by those who refuse to search the Scriptures. Nobody's being raised from the dead today. Now, I've seen plenty of snake handlers try to test their faith, and I've seen them lose hands after the rattlesnake or the copperhead or something bit them, and they swelled up and had to have their hand amputated. I don't believe that there is a man alive today that has the gift of going somewhere and actually pronouncing healing upon someone. In fact, in the Bible, you never saw, it was all spontaneous. And just like the guy at the temple who was lame on his feet, and he looked upon Paul, or upon Peter and James, and he said, or was it Peter and John? It was Peter and somebody with a J. And what happened was, they said, silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, raise up and walk. And all of a sudden, this guy that was lame could not get up. All of a sudden, he starts leaping and praising God. Now, you don't see that at a Benny Hinn meeting or at a Kenneth Copeland thing. Now, I may be dating myself a little bit, but Oral Roberts could never do that. See, I don't believe... I'm going to tell you, I hate the health, wealth, prosperity, gospel, and the idea that if you're sick, that it must be your unbelief or something in your life, because you ought to have four Cadillacs and you ought to never have another sniffle, and that's heresy. One of them, a man of great faith, the Apostle Paul, had to have a personal physician travel with him. He had problems with his eyes. He had bodily afflictions. God still does hear prayers. God still heals people. That's the key. It's God that performs divine healing. When Joe and Tammy, now they tested negative, three or four times. There's nobody in the world will convince me. I've never seen Joe that sick in his whole life, and I've known him, well, now for 28 years. He was sick as a dog. A sick dog. You know why he's here today? God. God intervened. God healed him of whatever it was that he had. Dick Ballmer, I don't know how many years ago it's been, he had a heart episode. They thought he was gone. But God. It's a miracle. God is able to perform divine healing. I remember praying in the ICU that night. God intervened. God changed things. Heal him up! And here he is tonight. Was that anything to do? No, I'm just a sinner. I don't have any ability to heal anybody. But I'll tell you one thing, I've prayed a lot for sick folks. I've been at the bedside of a lot of dear saints of God. And I've prayed that God would restore their health, that God would deliver them from whatever they're going through. And I've seen a lot of healing in my life. I've seen God undertake for people. I think 100 bills. I was there the day he was born. We were at Children's Hospital. I mean, nearly everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And we just prayed. We just asked God to intervene. And he did. In fact, it was a miracle. One of his lungs inflated. He couldn't explain it. It's God. It's a miracle. You see, I believe in divine healing. I pray about it nearly every day. When we have our devotions, as we start homeschool and we do our Bible exposition and we do our prayer every morning, we pray for the sick. We pray that God would heal them. And you know what? We thank God when He does. Because I believe God's the one that's in charge of healing, not men. People who are suffering from pain, fear of death, or grief for a sick loved one are often at the mercy of those men who claim to have the gift of healing. In fact, many of them have made quite a living advertising that if you'll just tuck in that love gift, I'll pray for so-and-so and their gallbladder will be healed. I remember Pat Robertson, he'd say, I just got a word of knowledge. Oh, somebody's got a toothache. Yeah, nearly half the population probably has a toothache. So there's a good chance that somebody watching Pat Robertson has a toothache and he prayed for their healing and they went in and put some Ora gel on it and bingo bango. They felt great. They sent him $100. It's ludicrous. It dishonors God when people play upon the fears of those who are suffering. So every saint of God needs to be well grounded in the teaching of God's Word concerning health and healing. Tonight I just want to say a few words about the blessing of health. Just as Christians desire to see their brethren in good health, turn over to 3 John in verse 2. And this is something I pray about every day. There are people that when I exercise, somebody will say, hey preacher, will you pray for so and so? Thank God when people trust you to share some burden that they have about somebody that's sick. Pray for them. A lot of times people will call, hey, so and so's sick. I say, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now on the phone. Because I believe God can hear through a phone call just as well as He can at the bedside. 2 John, or 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Our benevolent God has made many provisions for the well-being of His people. And as I stated at the beginning, obedience to God's Word, I believe, promotes being in better health. I mean, if you're in the Word, you're praying, you're assembling with the Lord's church, you're being edified by the truth, you're learning the Word of God, you're being a witness, you're serving the Lord, you're walking with God, I think you're going to worry a lot less than somebody in the world. You won't have as much undue stress, fear, hatred, gluttony, drunkenness. Why? Because you're walking with God. You're not given to excess and drunkenness and gluttony. See, all of these are enemies to good health. And I've said it my whole life. Take care of your temple. Do the best you can. You know, there's times that one of my things is, is part of being a meat cutter, I guess. I love meat. I love all kinds of meat. I've eaten meat that you would never eat. But I guess it's growing up in a meat cutter's family. Whatever is available, you eat it. And I learned to love it. But I have, through the years, when I was a teenager, now when you're a meat cutter's son, there are times we would have ribeye steaks for supper. I mean, there ain't a lot of people eating ribeyes tonight. But now, granted, they were a little green around the edges. They might have had just a little odor to them. But you season them up, and that takes care of that. But there'd be times that I'd eat two ribeyes. Well, I can't do that anymore. I just don't eat like that. But I enjoy eating meat. Somebody says, well, meat's not good for you. I've been trying to moderate that now for 62 years, or however long I've been in charge of it. So everything in moderation. Realize that there are enemies to good health. You ought to get enough sleep. I take vitamins. I try to get enough sleep. I exercise nearly every day. Get you one of these Fitbits. I was just talking to Ron Pemberton about it. And I don't get any promotional pay from Fitbit for this. But I tell you what, it makes you think about what you're doing every day. How many steps, how many calories. And I think it's good to be active. And if you really want to start exercising, next spring, Joe has barns that probably need cleaning. There's hay that'll need baling. There's gardening, hoeing. There's plenty of things that'll really get your heart pumping. All that's good for you. It's not good just to sit around like a slug. Do you know even the promise of long life is attached to one of the Ten Commandments? You know what the first promise in the Ten Commandments are, Gavin? You don't have to answer that. That's a rhetorical question. The first commandment with promise is the fifth commandment. Let me read it for you, Gavin. And Emma, I'm sure Emma, she probably is quoting a verse to him right now. Here's what it says. Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God promises long life for those children that obey and honor their parents. It's the first commandment with a promise attached to it. Now, if you study the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was given a pretty sound program for better health years before the findings of modern science. If you read your Old Testament, you'll find that God's commands to Israel included sanitation, quarantine of the sick, washing in running water, and a day of Sabbath rest. I saw that every bit of that promoted good health. The prohibition of sexual immorality in the Ten Commandments was a bar to the many social diseases that plague our country today. I tell you, you think about the plague of AIDS that broke out in the 80s. And a lot of it had to do with homosexuals having illicit relations. And if they would have stopped that, it would have stopped the spread. If they would have repented and stopped it. And then drug users. But I tell you what happens in a case like that starts spreading from people who are practicing perversity on the one hand and shooting drugs, and then they give it some way or another to other people in their realm of influence, and that's how that spread. But it could have been dealt with if people would have repented. Because I think it's a sin. I think shooting drugs is a sin. I think homosexuality is an abomination before God. But all of those things reveals that while holiness is the chief desire of God for His people, yet He has given provision for their physical well-being in the giving of His commands. There's just a lot of things that if you just practice what the Bible teaches, in the main, you're going to have a much better outlook mentally, emotionally, and even physically. Now, next week, we're going to get on to something that people hate. When a preacher starts, why do we have sickness? I'm going to tell you the reasons why. Why we have illness. Different reasons for that. In fact, several of them. But we'll look at them from the Bible. All right.